Welcome to another episode of Recipe Club, the podcast where we debate the best way to cook the things you want to eat. My name is Chris Yang. I'm the co-host of this podcast, along with my friend Dave Chang here.
Hello, hello, and we're back to towards a rhythm of where Chris and I lose every week. Happy, everybody. You see what you did?
Some things change, some things stay the same. It's a JDB episode. Today, our in-house wedgie member of the Recipe Club is none other than the author of Saved by the Bellini and current champion of the Recipe Club, cannot be unseated, cannot be knocked off his perch, John DeBerry. What's up, John?
What's up? It's a very special episode.
Is it? Are you going to die in this episode? Is something terrible going to happen? Is that
what intervention going to happen in this episode?
It's a very special episode. Usually means something dark is going to happen. What's been happening, JDB? You've been doing a little summer traveling. We saw you out here, and then
I was in LA.
Have you been? Is it book tour stuff? Are you?
Not really. I mean, book tours don't. I mean, aren't really a real thing for most authors. So I did like an event in DC and things here and there, but it's more like serendipitous rather than some strategic tour that's been planned out, you know, in advance. But I was in DC for like 7 hours. Oh, and the guy who submitted the locks, remember the locks from last season?
Yeah.
He was there at this event in DC, and he made me a T-shirt, and it was so nice. He made me a Saved by the Bellini hypercolor T-shirt.
You made you a T-shirt?
I like actually cried a little bit.
That's some super fan shit right there.
I'm a little competitive, and I'm a little upset that nobody's done that for me.
Come on,
you've never gotten a T-shirt in your whole life, Dave? Wow.
No, but I've gotten Sage from a prisoner in New Mexico before.
Okay. I mean,
let's not ask more about that. What?
He was in prison for many years, and this was when Mind of a Chef came out on PBS, and it was his favorite show. And he said he really liked me. And that he had picked sage, wild sage, in the prison yard.
Just for you?
Wow. Yep.
And he sent it to me.
That's really sweet. It's also funny to me. I feel like Recipe Club, we always talk about being on Delta. It's funny that Mind of a Chef is shown in prisons. They're just like...
Yeah. Well, it was a little weird when I came to the conclusion of why he liked me. What he was thinking of.
What? Oh, my God.
That's what it was implied in the letter.
Oh, he liked you.
Oh yeah, and in the letter was all of this powdered, pulverized, dry sage.
And that cut out. That was able to get out of the prison.
Like I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, never again do I want to open up mail.
Powdered anything in a letter, not a good
not
sign.
Not great.
No, I mean I've never gotten a T-shirt made.
Nobody's ever made you a T-shirt.
It's the first time.
Not like that. That's such a personal thing.
They made. So what? Do you have it? How hard is it to grab?
I do have it. Not hard. Hold on. Let's see.
I mean, nobody's done that kind of personal stuff. But like JDB does one random podcast.
He does one random podcast. Our podcast. Yes. All right, JDB, hold it up.
Look,
it is a custom. Saved by the Bellini.
Furby background.
I mean,
and it's really flattering.
I mean, JDV.
It changes color.
Very rarely do you like
it's so you.
That's what I was gonna say. It's like it's right on. I know. It's spot on for you.
I'm more than a little jealous, and I'm also simultaneously upset that we even chose that recipe. Because if we could go back in time, if I had the power to go back in time, I would prevent that from ever happening. So that event. If I had one opportunity to go back in time to fix the wrongs of the world, that's the one thing I would do to go back in time to prevent you from actually getting that T-shirt made out of love and, you know.
Just one chance. You been cooking or eating anything interesting, JDB?
I feel like I've been having a low culinary because I've been traveling a lot, so it's just a lot of snacks.
Just snack world.
Yeah, just total snacks. Although I actually did have some like some leftovers of the sweet potatoes from like 3 weeks ago, and they're still pretty good.
3 weeks ago.
Did you put it in the freezer?
No, he did
not. No, it's just in the back of the refrigerator.
Oh. You wanted to age it.
Yeah.
What is your what's your max on refrigerated leftover?
I think 72 hours.
Yeah, that's your max.
Because, wow. Again, I think that's when food can go bad after cooked. I mean, clearly it can go longer, but I'm a conservative person. And I want to make sure that, you know.
You also need to keep your refrigerator like organized. Yeah, just get it out.
Yeah. I did that last night. I organized my fridge at 11:30 in my freezer.
We can definitely build a new political party just out of your very specific conservative and progressive tendencies.
I mean, listen. If the Freedom Party can go as far as they did, imagine how my fucking party is going to go.
Social progressive refrigerator conservative. Just very conservative about food safety. We are not here to talk about anybody dying from eating things that are too old.
Or time traveling.
Or time travel. Although I'm sure with these two nerds, it's going to come up at least one time.
Call us nerd.
Speaking of time travel, Star Trek First Contact.
Whoa.
I called it. See? Because it was time travel, because we know.
Who's the actor that created Faster Than Light Speed when they go back in time? Yeah, when they go back in time, First Contact.
Oh, you mean James Cromwell?
James Cromwell. I was so happy to see him in that role.
He's in so much Star Trek, actually. He was in like a couple episodes in the third season of TNG. He was like,
he's usually a cop.
He's around.
Is this That'll Do Pig? This is Babe? James Cromwell?
Yes.
Is that who we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. And he usually plays a cop, like in LA Confidential.
Also solid flick.
And this is the first time where he played somebody that wasn't the stern. If you haven't seen First Contact, you should do so, number one. Right?
It's a great Star Trek movie.
Number two, it's probably the best Star Trek movie.
I'm just getting what I deserve.
Although the one with the whales is really good with Shatner, the whales, free willy one, that was pretty good.
What is that? That's another time travel one, isn't it?
It's time travel.
It is.
Maybe this is okay. Welcome to Time Travel Club.
We have lost. Let's get the data from Spotify. We lost 99% of all listeners. 5 seconds ago.
This is the podcast where we debate the best way to travel through time. No, we are here to talk about our theme ingredient for this episode of Recipe Club. We have gathered here together to discuss sweet potatoes, the tuber of American origin, the orange fleshed, sometimes purple, sometimes white fleshed, sweet. Starchy superfood known as the sweet potato. JDB, I don't remember. Was this high up on your draft list? Is this a favorite of yours? What's your vibe on sweet potatoes?
I don't know where it was on my draft list. I actually love sweet potatoes, so it might have been towards the top. But I have been eating sweet potatoes like pretty enthusiastically for probably like 10 years. I had a keto phase in like 2012 and it was pretty rough, but that's the one of the things that lasted from that was enjoying a good sweet potato every once in a while. Not keto, sorry, paleo. I had a paleo phase. Even worse, better. I don't know what's better, but that's the remnant was sweet potatoes.
As I was thinking, preparing for this episode and thinking about sweet potatoes and what to say about them, all I could come up with is I don't think I really like them. I think I like a few. But I think sweet potato fries, yucko.
Yeah, fries are garbage.
Sweet potato fries.
Again, like I don't know those people in my life that cheese sweet potato fries. In fact, I think Hugo ate them once at a restaurant, and I made sure to edit that out of his life. Much like I'm trying to do with baseball, right?
Wait.
I mean, like, I'm doing my best to make sure Hugo will not play baseball.
By denying the sport's existence?
Yeah. Because I don't want to watch Little League Baseball.
Oh, that does seem
it's going to suck. It's the worst. I feel bad for all the parents that have to lie that they like to do it. They fucking hate it. Yeah. So, no. Same thing with sweet potato. I don't want to have sweet potato fries in my life.
Mm. I'm counting on my children's natural lack of athletic ability to keep them from playing sports.
But sweet potato.
But you like it generally.
This is going to get me in trouble with the Koreans. But koguma, like roasted sweet potato, is such a thing. They eat it. They wrap it in, not always in foil, but it's cooked in embers a lot of times, or like it's sold like it's a chocolate bar,
Yes.
And I don't like it like that. And it can be good. It can be naturally sweet. But sometimes I'm like, well, you know, we have processed sugar that I can use.
It is not. I when it is tried to pass off either at that, that's where I don't like sweet potato. I don't trust it because it's got a foot in both worlds. It's served to me both as a savory thing and as a sweet thing. And I'm like, you are neither. You are just in this in between purgatory of semi sweet, semi savory. So I don't. That's why I don't dig with the sweet potato fries. I do like that. I will say one of the few things I like is a whole sweet potato. I do like the like yakiimo or whatever.
Yeah, but the Japanese or the Korean goguma. Like I don't remember the name in Japanese. But like when I just came back from Taiwan, you know, what was a bummer for me because I always check out convenience stores and Taipei has so many 7-Elevens. I was really bummed that they have a roasted sweet potato section. Mm. I was like, that's such wasted real estate.
It's true.
It could have been anything.
It is true.
Like, I feel a little bit with the roasted sweet potato like it's figs on a plate. I'm like, do fucking something. Okay.
I like it in like a camping context. If you're just throwing, if you throw them in there and you eat them, they're a good little treat. But I agree when my mom would be like, here's some roasted sweet potato. And I'd be like, I don't want that. She's like, you can dip it in sugar. And I was like, or I could just eat some candy.
Yeah.
Just eat a
dip it in sugar.
Bar. That's not a thing.
I mean, that's how my grandmother ate her potatoes, sugar and butter.
Sugar and butter, right?
Like potatoes, regular potatoes and though. Sugar were like a sign of extraordinary privilege and wealth post-war. Yeah.
But she would eat sweet potatoes or she would eat?
Regular potatoes.
With sugar and butter.
Idaho potatoes, roast them. And she would always do sweet potatoes too, but she loved adding sugar and butter to her potatoes. That was her thing. And I think that was a thing for a lot of Koreans.
Yeah. That's super interesting. I think, I mean, yeah, sweet taking potatoes. This, like, the basis staple food and making it into a treat.
Or you know, they're, you know, maybe Koreans don't realize that it's going to turn into sugar in your belly anyway.
It's just pre-sugar.
Pre-sugar.
There are 692 million results if you Google sweet potato recipes, and basically all of them are for baked or roasted sweet potatoes. I think that that is more or less true. This is the sort of number one way in which it is eaten. But JDB, it sounds like you are, of the three of us, the biggest sweet potato fan. So how do they factor into your lives over the past 10 years? Please don't tell me you just bite them raw.
No. If I actually buy a bunch of sweet potatoes and I soak them, I wash them, and then I wrap them in a wet paper towel, I microwave them for 5 minutes, do the whole batch and then throw them in the freezer. And then when I want like lunch or something, I'll just pull one out and just like microwave it. And then there you go. Usually in the winter, it's like more of a winter thing for me, but that's like a very standard lunch.
Sweet potatoes are a staple food through a lot of the Americas. They have spread, I think, from Peru is where the first sweet potato was cultivated or documented. It traveled by raft. It seems like to Hawaii and New Zealand. It was brought by
the yam came from Africa, though, right?
The yam is native to Africa, but the sweet potato was brought to Africa by the slave trade and started to displace the yam a bit as the one of the staple foods. The yam traveled through Asia, went from China to Japan and Korea. We eat 6.4 pounds per person of sweet potatoes, which I think. No. JDB, you were eating 18 in Chang and I are eating zero to get that average face.
I would say in a year it's probably right. Like I'm eating like, you know, 5 pounds, 6 pounds.
Like 5 potatoes basically worth of potato, sweet potato. Yeah,
and usually that's because it's a braise and something else. Or I've been doing some meal planning stuff too, and I put them in stuff as I try to eat healthier. But it's not like I'm always like, oh shit, I got to eat these last bites of goddamn sweet potatoes. That's what I'm looking forward to. You know, it's like, can I douse this in chili crunch or hot sauce? Give it something other than this cloying, pasty, sweet thing.
The texture is not right. It's not the starch content of a regular
maybe
potato.
If you microwave it, then freeze it, and then microwave it again, the texture will be right.
If you ever put sweet potato gnocchis on the menu?
No, thank you.
I'm good. I mean,
no, thank you. I'm good.
Jesus fucking Christ. That's all I got.
Sweet potato gnocchi. That is some crazy shit, man. Doesn't work on any level.
It completely defies the idea of making gnocchi. Okay. It's like crazy.
Take this very starchy tuber. No, now replace that with a not very starchy tuber.
It's like insane. It's trying to make a literally like making a pig fly. It's insane.
you put the wrong input into the gnocchi. Okay. So, no, there's no... Okay, I don't want to mischaracterize this. I don't... Nobody hates sweet potatoes. We didn't use any of those recipes that you can find online for roasted, baked sweet potatoes in whatever sauces. What are the top three results? Baked sweet potato, roasted sweet potato, and Mediterranean baked sweet potato. Oh, man, you know this sounds insane. Made with almond milk, cherry tomatoes, hummus, and chili garlic sauce. Bro, that's some dark web shit.
My soul vomited.
That sounds gnarly. Instead, we turn to you, our loving, faithful listeners, to submit your recipes for sweet potatoes. And as a reminder, you can continue to send in recipes for the remaining ingredients this season.
Send us good recipes, strong recipes, recipes that people want to eat.
Really delicious stuff. Because all of these ingredients could be turned into something delicious. Ube, chicken wings, flavored vodka, and some other stuff. So send those recipes into the fixer at majordomomedia.com. And thank you to everybody who has submitted them this season. Although some of you, I think, are playing pranks on us, some of you have been very diligent and sent in your family recipes. This time around, we got four submissions in the final selection for John to choose from. There was a keema-style stew with two potatoes by Cynthia Alexander, a regular submitter. Loaded taco sweet potato sliders by Kira Brandman. Sweet potato custard pie by Mary Bennett, who I believe is also a regular submitter. And roasted sweet potato spears with bacon vinaigrette by Annie Bauchio. We all know what you chose, John, but tell the listeners and explain your thinking.
I chose this recipe because you guys forced me to. So that's my thought process.
Because a future version of Dave showed up through a rift in the time-space continuum and stopped you from...
A burned out, like half like on fire Dave Chang came out of a portal
with
in my
an
house.
Eye patch.
Grabbed, yeah, and like a weird gun, like Cable or something from X-Men, and then grabbed my arm and said, "Don't choose the sliders."
As you were about to say, loaded taco, sweet potato sliders, Dave from the future.
I was like,
and said,
and
nope.
Then so my second choice was these, because I didn't want to do savory again. I mean, sorry, I didn't want to do sweet again. And this also had a very high, you know, core ingredient to other ingredient ratio. It's like 4 pounds of sweet potatoes. It's so much sweet potatoes, and then like a little bit of everything else. So it really hits the nail on the head in terms of like being about sweet potatoes. And also it was cute that it's from Gourmet. Kind of reminds me of the binder my mom made. So it has like a sentimentality to it.
Hi, my name is Annie, and this is my recipe for roasted sweet potato spears with bacon vinaigrette. I got it from Food Magazine. I'm a lover of all things food writing, so food magazines, cookbooks, and for years maintained a subscription to Gourmet Magazine. We were heading up north to have a family Thanksgiving with a whole bunch of people, where really the main event was the turkeys. My uncle was on a quest to figure out what kind of turkey was the best, an heirloom, a kosher, a, you know, free range, what bird was the best kind of bird. And so he had bought a bunch of turkeys, and I was just looking for side dishes and ways to support him. And this was a recipe that did not involve sugar at the dinner table and seemed like a good choice. So I'm a big oven bacon maker. I don't really usually like to make bacon on the stovetop, but for this one I do, because it's a like chop up the bacon and do it that way. And I cook the bacon pretty low. I don't like it to get overly crispy. I like to strain the oil after it comes out of the pan. So I'll leave it on the side. You know, I strain it through just like a little mesh sieve and get all of those little bits out, strain the fat and leave it in a Pyrex for, you know, 15 minutes or however long, so it's not super burning hot, and then use that to pour over the bacon spears and put them in the oven. It's a good make ahead. You can do it in advance. Roast the sweet potatoes ahead and leave them on the side because it has a hot dressing that you pour over the top, and that brings you back to room temp and you're good to go.
It's a family adaptation, in quotations, from a gourmet recipe. It calls for those 4 pounds of sweet potatoes to be peeled and then sliced into, what do you call these, JoJo's? These spears? Or what do you call
these?
I
never made it.
That's right. You made a crazy version. You peel them. You cut them into spears. You render the bacon in a heavy skillet. Then you drench the potatoes in that rendered bacon fat. You season with salt and pepper. And then you roast them in a hot oven until they're, you know, crispy and cooked through. Then You add some olive oil to that skillet with the potatoes taken out. You stir in your scallions and you add a little sherry vinegar, a little water, salt and pepper. And that is your vinaigrette, which you, again, douse your potatoes with. That is the original Annie Bauccio version of roasted sweet potato spears with bacon vinaigrette. But of course, here in the Recipe Club gauntlet, we never do things just by the book. We took that recipe, we made it the original way, and then we did three little variations to see how far we could push this thing. And this time around, our constraints came from the new and improved Wheel of Death that is behind me here. So you'll see all of these in video form very soon. But Dave drew one of our new restrictions. He drew fusion. And I think under John DeBerry's instruction, was told that he had to make his version of roasted sweet potato spears with bacon vinaigrette, except do it in the style of the Scandinavians. Mm. Some cloudberries and whatnot. I hit the new vegetarian slot on the wheel, meaning I could not use, you know, things that aren't. That were alive. And JDB landed on yet another new wheel constraint. He hit microwave only. So those were the three ways we approached this recipe, three useful ways to adapt this thing. I tend to like to go with the most straightforward preparation first and work our way toward Dave's fusion Scandinavian creation. So JDB, your honors, buddy.
I mean, for me, like the microwave didn't really make it that hard. There's plenty of people who make bite bacon in the microwave. I don't do that, but it definitely works. I was concerned about the crispy. I mean, not that sweet potatoes get super crispy in the oven. You know, they're sort of. So what I thought I could do is maybe dry out the sweet potatoes and see if that would made them like it gave them a little bit of like a skin. And so I actually just cut half of them into spears and then let them sit out for a few hours, seeing if that would do anything. It really didn't. There's no difference between it. I just had to cook them for a really long time in the microwave. Even cooked as spears, like it was like 7 minutes in the microwave and it was still a little al dente. But it's actually like if I was going to adapt this into a super easy, like, you know, weeknight, you know, 20-minute meal kind of like recipe, this would totally be the way to do it. It wasn't really, it was good. Like it was totally fine and it was easy. And you just dump everything in a bowl at the end and then you just go for it. Like the only thing is you kind of miss the opportunity to make the vinaigrette like in the pan, you know, as it's, you know, kind of intended. But I don't think you really lost a lot with that. I would just, if I was making this again, I would add way more scallions and way more bacon because it just felt like a bunch of sweet potatoes, like with like some pieces of bacon that were kind of like floating around.
How did it taste with the vinegar?
I thought it was good. Right. I thought the vinegar, the acidity was nice. Yeah, it's not like it's not gonna like blow your tits off, but it's definitely like there and it balances out the sweetness from the potatoes. So. You're not getting that like cloying, that cloying thing that you could definitely get with sweet potatoes.
So for sure, crispy bacon is possible in the microwave. I have seen it with my own eyes.
Yeah,
it is not super more crispy. Than possible. It's fine. Super crispy is very possible. You just have to let it. You got to once it's out of the microwave, you just have to let it cool. You have to let it dry, not dry. You have to let it drain and cool, and it's super crispy. Yeah. Can you get, Chen, could you imagine a browned crispy potato?
I think you could theoretically do it, but I think that it would be very difficult to do. You would have to take it to the point where most of the moisture in the potato would be gone, mm-hmm. and then it would become into something that would be leather almost mm-hmm. or burnt. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you could, but I think you can definitely make this dish in a microwave, and you can have crispy bacon for sure. I probably would make this recipe in the microwave.
The only thing is that if you're rendering out the bacon fat, you have to do that without the paper towels, which most microwave bacon recipes call for.
Or cook it in any day. Any day would work quite well, John. It'll change your life.
The crispy bacon is an eye opener. Okay, so the microwave only was pretty straightforward. The only thing you maybe sacrificed is some crispy sweet potato-ness. But can I say this about like crisp, quote unquote, crisp sweet potatoes? Like one of the reasons why sweet potato fries are not great is like they're not actually that crispy
because it doesn't have the starch content. We don't need to go in there.
Yeah. So. I'm also thinking like crispy bacon is all you really need for this dish. Okay. I will go next. I drew vegetarian, posing the obvious problem of bacon vinaigrette. So as has happened a few times this season when I've drawn vegan or vegetarian, I was trying to find some kind of smoky, savory substitute that was not – I didn't want to do vegetarian bacon. I don't want to do just like a sub, whatever straight, you know, commercial substitution. So I went with chipotle peppers. Instead of going, you know, I think other times I've turned to some other sources of smokiness, I thought sweet potatoes and chipotle work well.
What was your category?
Vegetarian. So I bought a can of chipotle peppers in adobo. I used some of that adobo sauce for my vinaigrette. But when it came to actually cooking the potatoes, I was fortunate that John gave me vegetarian and not vegan because I still wanted some of that kind of like animal fat, animal-based fat richness. So I knew I was going to do mine in an air fryer. So I sliced mine into wedges. I melted some ghee in my any day bowl because I didn't want a lot of milk solids that might burn in my air fryer because that thing torches everything. Tossed it with salt and pepper and ghee, put it into the air fryer, let those get, you know, browned and again, not crispy. Not crispy, but, you know, roasty. And then I took that same little any day bowl. I added the olive oil to that. I stopped paying attention to instructions. I'm not sure if this is what it said, but I put some olive oil with my residual ghee. I put a bunch of chopped scallion whites into there. Microwave that for 45 seconds or a minute. Added sherry vinegar. I did add a tiny bit of sugar to it because I think maybe used a little bit of a heavy hand with the vinegar. And a little salt to that and the, like I said, the chipotle adobo for the, you know, smokiness. And I made a vinaigrette with the chipotle peppers and I tossed all of that with the potatoes.
Clever move with chipotle peppers. So you're not tasting anything that's sweet potato. Well done.
Here's what I'll say. I think the point of the bacon is also similarly that you don't have to taste the sweet potato. Yeah. I will say in the original recipe, one thing that was confusing to me is like you use all the rendered bacon fat to cook the sweet potatoes and then use olive oil for the vinaigrette. Whereas I feel like you want at least some of just like pure bacon fat for your vinaigrette too. But anyway. Yeah. It was not bacony, obviously, but it was like it was super, super satisfying. It was very rich. It didn't taste vegan to me. You know, it wasn't vegan. It was vegetarian. And then just for like the sort of crispiness, I just to see what would happen, I crunched up some tortilla chips and sprinkled those on top. And they were getting saturated with like
smoked the joint, and you're like, I'm fucking hungry. I want tortilla chips, and that's right there. It's
actually, I stole the inspiration from we had our friend Malcolm Livingston come in the studio, and he was showing some popsicles to me, and he was trying to create like a nut free,
good filibuster. You were high,
dairy free,
and you wanted sweet and savory.
And he had used anyway. He made these like chocolate ice cream pops with like tortillas as the crunchy bits, and I was like, that's what
you're no Malcolm Livingston, bro.
I said I stole it from Malcolm. I'm a Malcolm Livingston impersonator. So my vegetarian sweet potato bacon vinaigrette, I really enjoyed it. I genuinely like. I kept on eating it. It was really, really tasty, and I was happy with that sort of smoky substitution. So, Mr. Chang,
I got fusion with Scandinavia, and I tried to have a poker face, but I was really excited to have that because I know a lot about. Well, this recipe, and this marries quite well with Scandinavian culture. Not exact, because sweet potato is not necessarily a thing. So I feel like this is a good example of how I think about things culinary-wise and sewing together certain food cultures or merging it together and trying to make it as seamless as possible. Is it perfect? No, but I did this in one shot. And I'm going to show you the photo of it. There it is.
Look at that, wow. JB. You did a fusion lux.
Well, no, I didn't go fusion. I wanted to make it right. So the recipe included, the original recipe was sweet potato spears, pork, bacon, a little vinegar, salt, pepper. That's pretty much it. Scallions.
Yeah.
The national dish, and I know it's the national dish. I spent a tremendous amount of time in Copenhagen. Is I can't pronounce it perfectly or even remotely close. like a stekt flæsk, which is fried pork, mostly pork belly, with boiled potatoes that have been rolled in some butter, sometimes with parsley, sometimes not, in a bechamel sauce, so a milk cream emulsion. Danish people eat more pork, I think more than Koreans, and we got to step it up, Korea. Come on, man. Come on. It's surprising how much pork the Danes eat. So when you told me Scandinavia, I don't know too much about pork consumption in other Scandinavian countries, but I do know that in Denmark, and I do know that they raise a lot of pigs, and I do know pork is a big thing. And I do know this dish because I've had it before. So I was like, okay, I'm going to merge this two, but what I want to do, since it's fusion, is I'm literally going to take both recipes and merge it into one. One recipe, I'm not going to skimp on any ingredients, and I'm going to try to make it one. And sometimes with the steak flask, you might have some kind of pickled preserve. So the only really addition I did to the steak flask, and again, I have no idea how to pronounce it, even though I've heard it, because I don't understand anything. When someone speaks in Danish or Swedish or Norwegian, no fucking idea what they're talking about. There's no way I can recreate any of those sounds.
You've said it three different times. It's amazing.
Yeah. But Stekteflaske.
I think that in your defense, I think even among.
That's a good pronunciation.
Stekteflaske. Even within the Scandinavian countries, I think like Swedish people and like Norwegian people like make fun of Danish like language as a language and how ridiculous.
Like it's so goofy.
Yeah. Even among the Scandinavians. So anyway, yes, you're excused.
So, I really thought long and hard, and I wanted to come hard. I want to come strong on this because, you know, I can't let John DeBerry run away with the season.
It's true.
That's why they sent me back in time. like John Connor to prevent John DeBerry, Skynet, from developing and ruining humanity's future. So I was tasked with this impossible challenge. I was like, shit, I gotta do this right. So I came correct. All right? So – to merge these two, I couldn't do what I decided I wanted to make a pavé. A pavé is basically sheets of vegetables that are pressed together and cooked in some kind of confit, some kind of fat, and then sliced and then grilled or crisped on the side. So I did it with sliced sweet potatoes. So to that and how I sliced it, it mimicked the wedges if I just did a cross-section of a wedge. And then I also took one potato and I sliced that as well. So I did two layers. I almost made a terrine of sweet potato, then one thin layer of potato, Idaho potato, and then I cooked it in a terrine mold in a water bath and in clarified butter with a little bit of thyme. And I pressed that, and then the next day, you know, you still have to slice it proper. Like, you got to be careful. You got to slice it cold. And I knew I'd want to crisp it up, and that was going to be my base. Then was like, how do I integrate parsley when there's scallion as well? So I was like, okay. And it's also curly parsley is the parsley. So I was like, I want this to be aesthetically modern, and also plating it in like I want to plate this how I feel like Scandinavian food, quote unquote, New Nordic food became popular for like circa 2009, 2010. To me, that was the peak, no, pre-peak, right, of Nordic cuisine. Before people knew, they were seeing photos, and a lot of the plating looked similar to things that were happening. I think this plate looks a lot like this restaurant, Le Calandre in Italy. It was a 3-Michelin-star restaurant. And you could see influences popping up in Noma and other restaurants. So that's where I want to just tell you the story. Like, I wanted to say, like, this ascendant cuisine of plating. So that was one.
Time travel, once again. Take your time travel. Took us back to 2009.
So I was like, I love how curly parsley tastes, but I wanted to integrate it in a way, so I made a curly parsley oil. So I just sauteed very quickly in hot oil the parsley, and then I blended it, and then I passed it, and I had, you know,
parsley oil.
My parsley oil. I wanted to bring the vinaigrette, but if you just make a vinaigrette and you pour it into, it's hard to plate in a controlled fashion because it's a broken sauce. Mm. So I was like, how do I make this into a real proper vinaigrette that incorporates sherry vinegar and some of the acidity that you might have as a compote or a preserve in a lot of the heavier foods that you might get in Scandinavia? So, of course, my thought went to cloudberries, right, which are these
– of course.
Or sea buckthorn, but I couldn't get those. And cloudberries are like – they're both orange tart things.
Yes.
So I chose something that is more Swedish that I've had. I've had more lingonberries in Sweden than I've had in Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought a lingonberry preserve online.
Which they will eat with herring on toast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I diluted some of that with some water, the sherry vinegar, and a little bit of the bacon fat. And I made an emulsion from that, and I thinned it out with the water so I could now drop it and plate it like a normal sauce. And the sauce on the flakdestaska, whatever, the steak flask, is a bechamel. So I made a loose bechamel.
Uh-huh.
Thinned out bechamel, and for the pork element, I cooked out some thin bacon, and I pressed it in the oven so I could get a perfect disc, and I cut a shape out of it, perfectly crispy, and I glazed it with some of the lingonberry vinaigrette, so it got nice and crispy. It had sweetness, and then I placed that on top of my tranche of sweet potato and potato. And then I took some of the sherry vinegar and I tossed the scallion on top with some leeks that I had blanched. So that's my dish, and I plated it as such. And I feel like I took both recipes, and I merged it into one.
I think you fused the hell out of them. It was. I saw this in person. It was very beautiful.
It looks nice.
You had your pave of sweet potato. Was it just sweet potato, did you say?
Sweet potato and a little bit of potato, because I want to give a nod to the actual potato.
Got it. And then a little roof of crispy bacon, some sexy scallion on top.
So, again, I didn't introduce any ingredients that are not in both dishes. You know, maybe you could say the lingonberry isn't, but, like, you're going to eat it with it to a degree.
And then you created your circa 2009 bechamel lava lamp around the side.
Correct.
It's undoubtedly high marks for fusing, high marks for plating.
I could have just opened up a can of chipotle peppers.
How did your dish taste to you?
It tasted great. I thought it tasted fine.
You put it in front of me and was like, this doesn't taste good.
I think because I wanted to undersell. Okay.
You did want to undersell. It's true. It was a tremendous amount of effort. It was a tremendous amount of effort. The attack on the Chipotle, notwithstanding, I did see this guy. He was very proud to come in with his heat.
Right.
Right. I don't know. I'm just sitting here catching strays.
Listen, now that we don't have to grade ourselves, that's just a softball to the judges. Motherfucker just like was light on the adobo sauce on the can. You know, that's pretty much the only thing he...
Listen, I got a vegetarian in the booth that better be coming with me on this one. I will say a very adorable moment was you made like a whole tureen like of the pave right at home, and he came in but just with like a single portion wrapped in a little saran wrap. He's like, look what I got. I was like, what is that little brick of potato?
I thought it was very clever if I have to pat myself on the back to do a pave.
It was a classic
technique.
It was a nice Scando fusion with I don't know, what would you call this? Americana, sweet potato with bacon vinaigrette, French. Who knows? Okay, so that was the three methods that we, the three directions we took this recipe from Annie Bauchio, the microwave for JDB, vegetarian for myself, and a little trip to 2009 Copenhagen with Dave. And now we arrive at the competitive portion of the show where the producers in the booth today, we have Corey, Yuno, and Victoria, who are going to be deliberating the winner, the first, second, and third place for this. You included the point system here. So the way that we've been doing this is first place is worth 10 points, second place is worth 9 points, and third place is worth 8 points. feel like this is kind of like figure skating rules where you can't get worse than an 8. And then we'll average those out for the season-long standings, which I will give you right now. In first place, with an average score of 9.67, which basically means he always wins, is John DeBerry. In second place, with 9.17, again, averaging above second place, is Dave Chang. A three-way tie for third between Priya, Brian, and Rachel at 9 points. Is that right? And pulling up the caboose is yours truly with a score of... that all was so... So that's 8.69. That's me.
All is right in the world.
8.69. Last place, nice. Chris.
Nottingham Palace over here.
Just getting beaten up over here. Just fucking relegation battle every goddamn year here.
It's not fair. These big clubs have so much budget.
I'm just waiting to be taken over by the Saudi Public Fund. I'll show you guys. You got some scores for me? Oh, 1 second. They're deliberating. They're deliberating. Victoria, don't forget your little friend over here.
Somebody bought you a vegetarian lunch today.
So while they're deliberating, I'll give these guys a couple extra minutes while they're deliberating. Let's talk about the next episode JDB is on. We have arrived, I think, at what was your first ingredient choice of the season, if I'm not correct, mistaken. Watermelon. I think the next time you're on, we're finally going to fuck with watermelon. And the choices you have, there's a lot of cocktails in here. Dave, you better listen closely to this because I think we need to influence this decision a little bit.
I did that last time.
Okay. Jazz Sykes sent in a lazy watermelon margarita. Mitch Hawkins sent in a planet melon. Something like an Aussie cocktail. So they say not so much an Aussie cocktail as one in an Aussie enjoys while holidaying in Bali. Mohabbat Ka Sharbat from Abhishek Gupta is a recipe for a widely consumed recipe during Ramadan in India. It translates roughly as sherbet of love and is marketed as such all across the night markets in India. David Speca sent us in watermelon pickles, and Eric Zimmerman sent in something that his wife craved while pregnant with their son, Lauren, a watermelon BLT, which is actually a BLW, bacon, lettuce, and watermelon sandwich. So those are
the T.S. Island and watermelon, actually, Chris.
Oh, excuse me. It's a John, you're just going to get us both canceled. Those are the five choices JDB has to choose from. Oh, that got me so good. In order of revelations, before JDB picks his next ingredient, are the judges decided? Has the jury reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor. So this is a unanimous decision. Okay, so in third place today is JDB.
Wow, I knew it.
It's all right. And second place is Chris. So, Dave, you win this episode.
Thank you, judges.
I don't think it was particularly close, but yeah.
Thank you. It means a lot to me. Of all the things I've been honored, this might be right up there.
Unbelievable.
Thank you for rewarding me for hard work. innovation.
How much hard work I put into this season.
Yeah, all he did was like,
hardest to open a can of Chipotle.
Do you remember that first episode when JDB just put in an extra thing of weenies into a pot? Hard work is always rewarded.
That was a transformative step, Chris.
Dude, I'm gonna form. You know what? It's not even Premier League soccer. I'm forming a fucking live golf over here. I'm out of here. I'm fucking out of here. I think. Let's see. Will you update those standings as we determine the next recipe? So, JDB, you heard your watermelon choices for the next time you're on the show. Which one are you gonna choose, or which one are you leaning toward?
I think I want to do the Sharbat. That's something I've never done before.
Indian sherbet of love.
Is it? Yeah. So it's ice cream?
It is a...
It's like a milky drink.
It's chilled milk, granulated white sugar, rose syrup, fresh watermelon juice, finely cubed watermelon, chilled water, 20 to 25 ice cubes.
That sounds awesome.
And 10 to 15 fresh rose petals for garnishing.
That sounds great.
Okay, so we will. I'm very happy to take that on too. So that will be the next time we are here on the show. Cooking with John, we'll be making the Mohabbat Kasharbat. I'm sorry for butchering
that. I'm spinning for you.
So Dave is going to spin the wheel of death for John DeBerry, which is landing
almost God mode.
On budget / Lux. So
you can choose.
No, you choose as the episode winner.
I won. Oh, that's right.
Oh, episode winner.
John DeBerry, I'm going to give you Lux.
Yeah.
I'm giving you Lux, and you have to hit a mark.
I've been waiting for Lux.
Of $200.
Oh, fuck me.
And I want you to find a way to get a perfect watermelon.
$200. Get a perfect watermelon.
Well, like whatever
just,
it is.
I'll just get one of those watermelons from Japan that costs like $1,000.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's like in the shape of a square.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to get you one of those. Easy. Again, if it's over $500, including shipping, I don't think we can get there. So
get a semi-perfect.
Either or. If you can't get that in a reasonable price, then we're just going to go bring you down to $75.
Well, there's like I think you can give him 100.
So what's
$100.
What's my floor? It has to be over 100? The whole.
Over 100.
Over 100, under
250, 300, under 300.
Yeah, under 300, over 100, under 300. And you're not, this is a Ramadan treat. So this is the thematic. This is you? All right, Dave is spinning for his restriction.
God!
Under 20 minutes, just the Dave Chang special. Just the everyday Dave Chang special.
I mean, honestly.
Just normal.
There's still a chance for you to make some decisions with my spin here. All right, here we go. My spin. Big, big spin. Big time. Big time. Big time. Big time. Big time.
Double taxation.
Fuck. All right, pick two restrictions for me, Dave.
Fusion.
Oh, my God.
And handmade.
All right, but no.
And you're going to fuse this with Mexico.
That's good.
I'm going to give you something legit. And you have to choose to make.
Okay, so here are your choices for what I can make from scratch. The ingredients
this is great.
Are, I mean, milk, sugar, rose syrup, watermelon juice. I can make ice cubes. I mean, those are the ingredients. So which one of those do I have to make by hand? I mean, I'm not going to milk a fucking cow, dude.
What are the ingredients?
That's it. That's all there is. It's rose syrup is the only thing I can try to make by hand.
Make the rose syrup. That'd be nice.
Rose syrup. It is.
Okay.
And Mexico.
And this episode will just prove that effort does not make you win this show. All right. So next time we're on here, we'll be tackling watermelon. Specifically, we'll be making the Sherbet of Love. God, what a fucking good name for a recipe. JDB will be making yours. What is yours again? Oh, Lux. He'll be making a Lux version of it. Dave will be spending no more than 20 minutes making his Sherbet of Love. And I will be doing a double taxation fusion with Mexico. With handmade rose syrup.
That's easy. You just boil the shit out of roses with some simple syrup.
Okay, so before we go, I'll do an update on the season standings after today's results. JDB holds on by the narrowest of margins to first place with a average score of 9.25. Mr. Chang, you are nipping at his heels. With a 9.23. I'm still in the cellar behind Priya, Brian, and Rachel. I've crept up some who cares amount because Victoria betrayed me. And that's it. So next time we're on here, we'll be doing watermelon. Again, send in your recipes for the remaining ingredients to thefixer@majordomomedia.com. Make sure you give us 5 stars. Follow the Recipe Club account on Instagram where you can see all of these dishes. And I promise you videos of all of this cooking and all of the effort we've been putting in will be hitting your feeds in some form or fashion very soon. Thank you, John DeBerry. Still champion
still
of Recipe Club
on.
For now.
Until you change the rules again.
Chang, any last... And I will say thank you again to Annie Bauchio for sending in the recipe this week.
And thank you to our marvelous judges. You guys are great. We love you. Thank you for being so just and wise.
The dude bought all of our judges lunch before they started, just FYI. Just for everybody's information here. He definitely bought them all lunch before we started recording. So, just something for you all to ponder at home.
I mean, maybe that's what you think when you try to do something altruistic, that it's always self-motivated, but that's not everybody else, Chris.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Thank you.